happening for Bam Kabam. Bounces in a hero's bounce for Tyler.
The game is set. The roster is stacked. Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, and Kyle Lowry all help Miami sizzle their way to a number one seed. And now Miami is about to feel the heat en route to a championship.
Strus, what a fake. What a score. Max Strus.
Things are heating up with Theo Dorsey and JMP. Presented by Brightline, South Florida Ford, St. Lucie Battery and Tire, Greco Chevrolet, Breakers Palm Beach, EDS Air Conditioning and Cleveland Clinic, Florida. Are you feeling the heat yet?
We are now about an hour and a half from tip-off at FTX Arena as the Miami Heat, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, will host the Atlanta Hawks, the eighth seed, in a game and a series where it all boils down to one question. Are you really that scared of Ice Trey? Are you really that scared of Trae Young? We'll get into that. I'm Theo Dorsey. That laugh, that chuckle at the thought of being afraid of Trae Young that you heard is JMP. We are, maybe at this station, it doesn't get much more heat culture than us here at ESPN West Palm, right?
Yeah, I mean, Theo, it's great to be with you. And, yeah, when you came down here, was it about a year ago or so?
About a year and a half at this point, yeah.
Year and a half, man, how time flies. But, you know, I felt like I wanted to share my mayorship, you know, myself and Evan Cohn, who's going to join us in a little bit, as, you know, the diehard Heat culture guys.
Yes.
And I put you to the test. I was asking you some free agency questions.
Yep.
if you watched certain games, I wanted to know, like, are you a casual Heat fan? Or are you a try to get, you know, on the screen in front of Eric and John for all 82, and you pass the test with flying colors. You're tweeting out after every game, the Heat, you know, winning celebration videos.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a lot of fun chopping it up with you.
JMP, I'm so much of a Heat fan that, as you know, less than 24 hours ago, I just proposed to my now fiance. And I'm here right now to make sure that we get this show still on the road because I'm that pumped up for the Heat. Now, of course, I have the rest of my life with my fiance and then soon-to-be wife, Ashley, and I am, again, head over heels, excited about that. I'm also excited about this.
So you got the ring before the Heat potentially get their ring.
Exactly, and that's all it is. It was a prelude to the Heat's soon-to-be crowning ceremony when we get to June.
Did you work that into the actual proposal?
I didn't. I should have.
I can't imagine that your fiance would be happy if you're making, like, references.
Yeah. You know. Well, thankfully, she won't be listening to this show. She won't know that I compared our lifelong marriage soon to be to the Miami Heat championship run. But that's what we expect it to be for these Miami Heat. This team, as a one seed in the East, as a top-tier defensive team, maybe one of the best defensive teams built for the playoffs, is set and maybe even set up perfectly to make an easy cruise right into the Eastern Conference Finals where they'll probably be tested a lot. But I guess first we need to focus on this first-round series because on Friday night, the Atlanta Hawks took on the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland in a win-or-go-home scenario. On Friday night, it was a game where Trae Young didn't have John Collins. He didn't have Clint Capella. They weren't at full strength. They were down at the half on the road. And Trae Young finished with 38 points. The Hawks won it 107-101. And on top of that, 32 of those 38 came in the second half. Trae Young took over that game. He was the best player in that game. And JMP, I know the outside world, outside of Heat culture, the national media, all of that, they might feel like in this series, the Miami Heat are going up against the team that has the best player. A lot of people might feel like all NBA guard Trae Young is the best player in this series. I have two questions for you just to get it tipped off. Number one, is he the best player in the series? Number two, does it even matter when the Heat have all of those guys to throw at him?
I do think that Trae Young is probably the best player in this series, but I don't think it matters all that much. One, because like you said, even though I do think that Trae Young will have a couple of really big games, and by big games, it's like he did on Friday night, as you mentioned, the 32-point second half.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Heat are going to shut him down, but I think it's going to be a below-average series for Trae Young going up against that Heat defense. which offers, you know, 10 times the resistance that Cleveland Cavaliers defense. I mean, when you know, I'm sorry, you're throwing Caris LeVert out there. You're one good defensive player, Evan Mobley, for some reason, you know, you're not even bringing him up on switches or anything. I mean, the Heat have so many different guys that they can throw out. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if it's P.J. Tucker, if Kyle Lowry's getting some minutes, Jimmy Butler,
yeah.
You know, and really how they I suspect they're going to be mixing a lot of things against Trae Young. But I also don't think it matters all that much because, yeah, I'm a believer if the top two players on a team normally win a series.
Yeah.
That's why even though if the Heat got the Brooklyn Nets, I would have picked the Heat in the series, but I was definitely nervous with the Durant and Kyrie Irving factor. But even if Trae Young is better than Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, I mean – how many of the next guys, before you get to another Atlanta Hawk player, especially with, as you mentioned, Palm Beach County native John Collins out, how many Heat players are next up on that list?
And that's the thing. I mean, I think you get to a long run of Heat players, especially, again, John Collins, Clint Capella, we don't know what we're going to get from them in this series. Between Jimmy Butler, between Bam Adebayo, especially Kyle Lowry in the playoffs. You know, regular season Kyle Lowry is a different guy than playoff Kyle Lowry, and he's a guy at this stage in his career who has a championship ring, who also knows how to coast it to save his body and save his effort for the playoffs, and he's going to give it his all, you know, day in, day out, especially in these games where it's win or go home.
Did it make you feel good those last few, you know, the Heat had the week or week and a half from hell, you know, where they blew a bunch of leads,
right.
The whole Jimmy Butler, Spo, Udonis thing.
The sky is falling. The Heat are done.
The sky is falling. Yeah. It's the only time that the national media would actually talk about the Heat.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they get some big victories to clinch the one seed and at Boston, you know, at Chicago. Did it make you feel good to see Kyle Lowry kind of look like maybe postseason Kyle Lowry, where he's a more assertive offensively, getting some big games scoring?
And that's what it is, I think. And also Victor Oladipo came along strong in that stretch. Like, what the Miami Heat have and the depth that they have and the veteran leadership they have, that's why when all of that was happening, I always looked at it as a wake-up call. I always looked at it as a blimp on the radar, as a small speed bump that a team that is also, again, we're going up against the Hawks that have Nate McMillan, good coach, on our sideline for the Miami Heat, Eric Spoelstra. A championship-winning
coach.
Much better coach. Maybe the best coach in the NBA. I would argue, especially since the Spurs did not win the play-in, Eric Spoelstra, the best coach in these playoffs. He won't get coach of the year. You know, that'll probably go to Monty Williams. Or, you know, it could go to any other coach.
Monty Williams deserving this year.
He deserves it, especially because he should have got it last year over Tom Thibodeau or whatever. We won't even get into the awards season debate stuff. But, again, this team... excellent coaching, excellent depth, veteran leadership, championship experience, and even guys like Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler who didn't win the title, but again, in that bubble, Tyler Hero as well, Duncan Robinson off the bench, have championship experience of playing for it and know what it feels like to be in the finals and walk home empty-handed. I don't think they want to do that this year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think P.J. Tucker in this series and overall, I mean, he had such a great season for the Heat. I think he's going to be big, you know, defensively. I think he's somebody that, you know, you could throw at Trae Young. And, you know, he obviously did not leave the reigning NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks to lose in the first round with this Heat team. I just feel, Theo, I feel so much better about this team because, you know, yeah, Jimmy Butler is a great player. He has shown, you know, I know there's still question marks about who can he be a number one. I mean,
right. And that's all about half-court offense stuff. That's all the nerdy stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy that still, you know, is the only player in the history of the NBA Finals to have a 35-point triple-double with five steals. So
yes.
Jimmy Butler can be an elite player. Bam Adebayo, a two-way stud. Tyler Hero, I think if you see the Tyler Hero in the postseason that you did in the regular season, it's a huge difference maker. But look at all the defensive weapons that the Heat can throw out that they didn't have before. Kyle Lowry, P.J. Tucker, guys like Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent. Yeah, Gabe Vincent.
The list goes so long, and it helps. Like, people look at the regular season this year and even last year and the past couple of years that have been pandemic-ridden and whatever. It helps that a guy like Eric Spoelstra is able to get so much out of guys like Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, you know, starter Max Strus, who a year and a half ago, if we said that, people would laugh. But it's like, at
I
this
love
point,
it now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, at this point, that dude is that dude. He's a viable rotation player and starter. Even with Duncan Robinson struggling, he fills that role almost seamlessly. And to have a guy like Duncan off the bench, like, this is a team that is just so built for any matchup. They can play so many different ways. Bam Adebayo, one of the most switchable centers. We don't have the Rudy Gobert problem, right?
No.
Like, we don't have the problem of, oh, if he gets out there on an island.
No, the opposite of Rudy Gobert.
Literally, he's anti-Gobert. He's anti-Gobert. Bam Adebayo, and he's a guy that we didn't even have him on the show intro, which I've raised a little hell about, but...
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. It's a little spotty.
I don't know who wrote that show intro. It's okay, though. I got love for Tyler Herro.
Courtney.
Yeah, look, she's Bucks and Six lady. Courtney, our teammate here, huge Bucks fan. She purposely left Bam out. Maybe that was to inspire him to shock the world.
I don't think Courtney wants to do, who's all of our boss here at ESPN 106.3.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Courtney wants to do anything to inspire the Heat because, you know, she is a Bucks fan.
She is. She is. She is. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to overly concern myself with, again, the outsiders like Courtney, who's hoping that the Bucks can beat the Bulls in six.
By the way, what was your favorite part of the last 48 hours of, you know, and I know, you know, I'm taking a little shot at the first four letters of our station.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that we are a proud affiliate of ESPN. But did you have a favorite part of the last 48 hours of Atlanta Hawks? Are they a dangerous eight seed to upset the Heat in the first round?
It's funny because people try to relegate to the, who has the best player in the series? And what can the Heat do in the half court? And is that offense potent enough, like when the game slows down? And at the end of the day, are we really going to do this to ourselves? Because the Hawks lucked their way into the Eastern Conference Finals because Ben Simmons doesn't want to dunk the basketball, right?
Right.
Because the Hawks got the draw of playing the Knicks, who had what looked like a good defense last year, but really it was a well-coached team with poor talent and a Julius Randle who really showed who he really was in the playoffs.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
Are we going to fool ourselves into thinking the Hawks are a good team? There's a reason why they had to win two games to make the playoffs. They had to win two. If they would have lost any of those two games, they're out. They were the 10th seed in the East. They had to play both games on the road to make it. Yes, they did so, but at the end of the day, am I worried about those Hawks? And did I love the coverage? And maybe it's more bulletin board material because imagine being Jimmy Butler. Imagine being Bam Adebayo. Imagine being Kyle Lowry, and people are wondering if you can get past these Atlanta Hawks. Who's their second best player in the series right now? Danilo Gallinari? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, who the Heat are going to go after. But, I do think the Heat are either laughing at that or the Heat are getting pumped up with an even bigger chip on their shoulder, and this is not a team that you want to mess with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, and you know what? There's one guy I wouldn't want to mess with a chip on his shoulder is also Heat lifer, Heat culture guy in the fold with us, JMP, Evan Cohen, who you hear 11:55 a.m. and 5:55 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. And also, a lot of those rants that he goes on, those five-minute commercial-free rants, have a lot to do with our Miami Heat. So, Evan Cohen, as you join the show, I have one quick question for you. Heat in what for this first-round series?
Six. I'll play it safe.
Six?
Wow. But would it surprise me if they went five? No. I think that here's the thing. I think we're a little bit overrating the fact that the Hawks were really good last year. And on Friday night, they had an amazing comeback win over the Cavaliers. And we're not taking into consideration, Theo and JMP, the fact that the Heat were the best team all year, and the Hawks were not very good this year. And there's obviously injuries with their bigs in terms of Cardinal Newman's own John Collins and the status of his playing situation for this entire series, as well as Clint Capella. Like, this was not a great team this year. And I understand that Trae Young is awesome, and people are going to say he could be the best player in the series, but... I mean, did we not remember Jimmy Butler 2 years ago? Do we not remember Kyle Lowry? Like, if we're going to play on the history side of it, the Heat had the history, too, in terms of postseason success, greater than that of Trae Young. I don't understand the overrating of all of this right now.
You said the Heat have the history, too. The Heat were in the finals. Trae Young and the Hawks made the Eastern Conference Finals because they got the Knicks and a Sixers team who had a guard who refused to shoot the ball in clutch moments for the Sixers. Like, the Heat were just in the finals against the Lakers with a good shot to win and banged up. Like, it is ridiculous how much we're overrating these Hawks right now.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that we're right about this. Could we? I mean, are we going to look back in a week or two and be, you know, a big egg on our face? I don't think so necessarily. But, like, the body of work for the Heat for this entire season has been really, really good. And JMP will remember this because JMP probably, and I probably did a million shows together around this time, but or at least we're at the games at the same time. In 2006, when the Heat won the championship, their first championship, their record against good teams was horrible. And then they go to the postseason, and they were great. And they, you know why they were great? Because they were good all year. Like, that's it. Like, they were just good yeah. all year. They just weren't good against specific teams. So has the Heat had this dominant success against the Hawks? No. Like, they were, like they had against the Hornets this year? But, like, I don't know. Like, it's not that I'm not worried. I'm just not worried to the extent that everyone else seems to be.
Well, I'm not worried at all about this series. I think I'm going Heat in five. I think there's a better chance of a Heat sweep than the Heat in six. I do think that Trae Young will have one game probably in Atlanta, you know, where he does something similar to what he did on Friday night. Maybe not 32 points in the second half, but yeah. Trae Young.
Screw it. I'm going with JMP. Heat in five.
There we go. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
There's nothing scary about the Hawks. But, Evan, one of the fun things I think about this team, and there's so many different options, and I think we can ask this question and maybe have a different answer every series. But in this series, the most important player of the Miami Heat to you is whom?
Tyler Hero. And I think I'm going to say that for every single series. Wow. I really do. Because I think that Bam, Jimmy, and Kyle are givens in terms of we know what they're going to get. But Tyler Hero, I believe, is a max player. You heard me say that
max
right.
Contract.
A max contract
wow.
player. I think
100%.
He is that
okay.
good. And I think that one of the things that we were looking at 2 years ago, Theo, you mentioned the finals. One of the things that we were discussing 2 years ago, JMP and I, was whether or not they had a big three. Now, whether or not they have a big four. Because Kyle Lowry, and I'm talking about a postseason version of that.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry has been great down the stretch. I don't think Kyle Lowry had the best season ever. Jimmy, to me, paced himself this season. Bam actually sneaky had a big offensive improvement. And the reason I say that is, remember last year at the end of the season against Milwaukee, he refused to take mid-range jumpers
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
open little bunnies when they had them. He just wouldn't do it. Now, he does it all the time. And I understand, let's see what happens in the postseason. That is fair. But I think Tyler Hero can outscore all of these guys. And I think at least he gives an effort on defense. The question is whether or not teams are going to attack him, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that in this specific case against Atlanta, there's really anyone that can attack him other than Trae Young, and I don't think he's going to be guarding Trae Young. I'll throw one other thing out at you for this series. I wonder if Victor Oladipo actually gets some run in this series, and they go three deep in terms of guys just throwing at Trae Young, right?
Yeah.
We know Kyle Lowry can attempt to guard him. We know that Gabe Vincent can attempt to guard him. I wonder if Oladipo gets a shot, too, just in the, hey, they have one player, so we're going to go three deep in this series. Like, I don't think that Oladipo necessarily plays in the next series, whoever that is going to be against Toronto or Philadelphia, if the Heat win, or assuming and hoping the Heat win. But in this specific series, where the point guard is so clearly the best player, I wonder if you go old school Bulls style, when they would just have a bunch of guys at center going against, you know, Patrick Ewing or Rick Smits or whatever big in the inside in the Eastern Conference. I wonder if the Heat kind of do that at Trae Young this series.
But you see, I wouldn't discount that as a possibility, but I think especially if Collins is out for the series, and if Capella, who got banged up on Friday, is out for part of the series, to me, Evan, it opens it up where, I mean, you're going to see a lot of different guys on Trae Young, but, like, I would think P.J. Tucker might, if you're going to say one guy that would, you know, be your primary defender, like, I think they could throw P.J. Tucker at him. I think they could throw Jimmy at him.
I thought about that, too, JMP. Here's my problem with that. Coming off the injury.
Yeah.
This gives him an opportunity to ease back into it. You're not wrong. And so there's a third or fourth guy that they could put. And Jimmy can guard him, obviously.
Right.
I think they're going to attack the hell out of him. I think they're going to beat him up. I think they're going to knock him on the ground. I think it's going to be one of those old school Pat Riley type series where they know who the target is. Because let's just say, for argument's sake, guys, that Trae Young is not the guy to beat them. Who is? I know Bogdanovich can get hot. I know Herder could get hot, but like, who's the other guy that could theoretically beat them right
Danilo
now?
Danilo Gallinari. That's what the Hawks fans, you know, I had a Hawks fan DM me, and he's like, yo, Danilo's been giving y'all trouble this year. And I'm like, are you seriously leaning on Danilo Gallinari in the playoffs right now in 2022? I am not afraid. I'm just not. I'm
well,
sorry.
But Theo, here's my thing on Gallinari. Gallinari could be a backbreaker if Trey gives you 25.
Yeah.
Right? Like, could I envision a scenario for a game where Trey gives you 25, gets cold in the fourth because PJ and JMP scenario, PJ beats him up and Gallinari hits three threes in the fourth? Sure, yeah. But, like, Gallinari, if Trey goes 4-for-17 James Harden style,
yeah,
I don't think Gallinari is going to beat the Heat.
And that's what I believe as well. I think it's one of those things, like you say, you throw a slew of guys at Trey Young, but luckily we don't have to waste P.J. Tucker or even Jimmy Butler on him. With, when you have guys like Gabe Vincent and you have guys like Victor Oladipo and you have guys like Kyle Lowry, like, save that front line because you might need them more later in these playoffs. And Trey Young, just this strikes me as a series where he, I don't want to say James Harden-esque, like you kind of mentioned, but the turnovers might rack up a bit. The frustration might sink in a bit. He's shooting 35-footers because he can't get to the rim against a team like the Heat. He can't pick, like, the only guy that he's going to want to switch to is Tyler Hero on that, you know, starting core lineup. Like, and at the end of the day, I'm just not afraid. Maybe I'm a little too arrogant. Maybe this one seed has me feeling myself a bit, Evan. But I don't know. I'm just not afraid, man.
I think we'd be – listen, the Hawks are good. Great.
They were
10 seed
for a reason.
And I'll tell you one other thing. I think our conversation leading into this game today would be a lot different if the Cavs beat the Hawks on Friday night. Not because we're saying the Cavs are better, but it's a worse matchup for the Heat. I think that's the key here, right? We would be sitting here having a conversation saying, is Spo willing to go double big against the Cavs triple bigs,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because of the Capella injury, I think the Heat and it matches up very well for them.
Yeah, it does. And Jared Allen could be a problem for Bam Adebayo and all of
exactly.
that. But luckily, we don't have to deal with that. Luckily, we do have a matchup with these Hawks. And even I want to get you, before we let you go, just to look at the actual route to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, because to me, it's a pretty sweet route. It's a pretty sweet route. Let's just say the Miami Heat get through the Hawks after they tip off again in about an hour at FTX Arena for game one. Let's say they get through them in about five or so. We're going to assume good health, right? We get to the second round. You still have home court through the Eastern Conference playoffs. You get the Sixers, who I don't know. I don't know what you think of them.
I'm not ready to say they're getting the Sixers.
Well, I'm saying you get
I think
or.
Toronto may win that series.
So you get either
well,
or.
Well, I'll tell you something. Here's the way we have to think about this, in my opinion. I agree with JMP. I don't think you can say the Sixers, because of a myriad of reasons. The Raptors were playing better than the Sixers down the stretch. The Raptors are clearly a better coached team. That's not even – Nick Nurse is on another level compared to Doc Rivers.
Yes.
And I understand that may seem ridiculous to people, because half the people listening right now may not know who Nick Nurse is, and 99% of them have heard of Doc Rivers, right?
Right,
but Nick
right,
Nurse
right.
is way better than Doc Rivers. That doesn't mean Doc Rivers is bad. That just means that Nick Nurse is way better. But here, and then you also have to factor in the vaccination status. And Matthias Thybulle is not able to play in Toronto. But here's what I'll say about Philadelphia. If what we don't want as Heat fans is if Philadelphia wins, we can't have it in less than seven. And the reason I say that, Philadelphia is struggling right now, but if they beat Toronto, when everybody's saying Toronto may win that series, in five or six, all of a sudden they get a little bit of the swagger back.
A little confidence, right?
Yeah, so what we would want is if Philadelphia wins, we want it to be in seven. And it's like, oh, well, you just squeaked by them. Now you got the number one seed that theoretically has been sitting around for 4 or 5 days. I actually think Philadelphia is better overall players when they're at their top end, the top two players.
Yeah.
I think Philadelphia is a better matchup for Miami than Toronto is. Toronto provides so many different things that Miami, I don't want to say will struggle to match up with, but like, there's some confusion as to what you do if all of these guys are healthy. They basically roll out like 4 or 5, 6, 8 guys who can do a lot of different things, including West Palm Beach's own Scotty Barnes. So like, I don't want to say I'd rather see Philadelphia, but I may rather see Philadelphia.
I would be a little bit more nervous about the Raptors for sure. And maybe that's why it was a Freudian slip that I just said the Sixers advance, because I would like to see James Harden.
I think 99% of people think that the Sixers are going to advance.
Yeah, I don't think that was a slip, Theo. I think like they're the higher seed, so that's how you play out the projections, right? 1 versus 4 and then 1 versus 2 at the end. Like that's how, theoretically, if you're going to say what's their road and you're playing out the hypotheticals, yeah, I think you did it right. I think you have to play out the Sixers. I think the uniqueness of this is that the Heat, it may be better for the Heat, for the higher-seeded teams, to win the entire way.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Because then you avoid the Nets and you avoid the Bucks. So if you go Hawks, Sixers, Celtics, that may be better than theoretically Cavs, right? Then the Raptors and then the Bucks.
Yeah. No, that would be. So before we let you go here, what's your prediction for the Heat, these playoffs? How far do they go? And, you know, I don't want to put you in that box, but just give me that prediction, man.
Well, let's talk in June in the finals.
I love it. Okay, we're going to go to break here as we're heating up. We're less than an hour from tip-off here for Game 1 of Heat Hawks at FTX Arena. That was Evan Cohen for J&P. Theo Dorsey. We're live here on ESPN 106.3.
Into the paint for Bam. Kabam! Bounces it. A hero's bounce for Tyler.
The game is set. The roster is stacked. Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, and Kyle Lowry all help Miami sizzle their way to a number one seed. And now Miami is about to feel the heat en route to a championship.
Struce, what a thing. What a score. That's Struce.
Things are heating up with Theo Dorsey and JMP. Presented by Brightline, South Florida Ford, St. Lucie Battery and Tire, Greco Chevrolet, Breakers Palm Beach, EDS Air Conditioning and Cleveland Clinic, Florida. Are you feeling the heat yet?
You might have just stepped off that bright line right in front of FTX Arena, and you might be ready for Game 1. Heat Hawks, 1 o'clock tip-off, and it is starting off these Eastern Conference playoffs for the one-seeded Miami Heat. JMP, I'm Theo Dorsey. We got Stone Labanowitz here. We have another special guest coming up. Jason Jackson, who is just, you know, synonymous with the Miami Heat. Face, voice, whatever you want to call it, this guy can give us a lot of insight. He'll be coming up here soon. But JMP, we got Evan's prediction somewhat. He gave a nice like cryptic, we'll see, we'll talk in June. Evan has the Heat going to the finals. You like that?
I love it. I think that there is one team that I would have trouble picking the Heat against. I'm still going to pick the Heat because I'm a freaking homer.
That's it. That's
But one team in the East, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm. So we're not going to see the until at least the Eastern Conference Finals. But yeah, I love the confidence. I love Evan changing his pick too to the Heat in five. Like,
yeah,
because to me, if it's more than five games, then that means like, yeah, the Heat didn't play very well in this series.
That's very true. You don't want to struggle with, again, a team in the Atlanta Hawks who the Heat are about to tip off against, who had to win 2 play-in games just to get in, both of them on the road. So the Heat, the better team in this series. Nobody can tell us that more than a guy who, for most of my lifetime, especially my lifetime as a Heat fan, has been literally synonymous with the Miami Heat, the face, the voice, Jason Jackson, radio play-by-play, TV host. Anytime you're watching Heat coverage, you're going to hear or see him. Jason, thanks for coming on here with me and JMP. First question, we just got Evan to give us a long-term projection of the Heat's playoff. He says we'll see the Heat in the finals. Let's just get right to this first round. What do you see, Heat Hawks? How many games will it take for the Heat to get through this series?
I learned a long time ago not to play that game.
almost got him, Jeffy.
Oh, no. Part of 18 seasons with the team is knowing when to dodge those landmines. but what I like about the opportunity is, particularly for the Heat, you get the joy of what you earn. The Heat established early in the season and maintained consistently that if you're coming into FTX Arena, you're going to need your hard hat, the lunch pail, the thermos. Those are hard and challenging nights. Now, I'm going to give Atlanta credit because they have to roll into this. You know, when you got to take care of Charlotte at home and then go on the road, and I'm assuming you all saw that, and it could feel the atmosphere in Cleveland as the Cavs got out to that big lead, and then they push back, and then Cleveland comes back, and then here comes Atlanta again. The one thing that I will wrap my mind around is it's not over when you're playing Atlanta until that buzzer sounds. And, you know, these weren't blowouts that Miami laid down on Atlanta throughout their regular season dominance. So these are going to be full engagements, all defensive focus on that dude that will shoot from anywhere. And seemingly in the second half, finds enough to push that team to victory more times than not. So this is, you know, roll the sleeves up, get your hands in the dirt.
So, Jason, who is the best guy for the Heat to throw on Trae Young, not just early but often, and then also in those closing moments in the fourth quarter when the game really does matter?
Oh, he's going to see everybody now. There will not be a singular dynamic there. I mean, he's going to get, obviously, a full dose of Lowry, Jimmy when needed, Bam when the switch occurs. Hell, PJ will find his way there. You don't discriminate in that space. You decide each and every trip up down the floor, what's the best on ball? What's the best option coming to help from the weak side? Following that cat all the way to the rim, because that's the other thing we cannot forget. First time in what was it, nearly 50 years that a player has led the league in scoring and assists. I believe Tiny Archibald, the last player to do that. So, I mean, it's astonishing what he can do when he's rolling. And, again, I think the most important thing is not feeling as though you got the job done when it looks like he's struggling at halftime or even the third quarter. He has these abilities to explode. But, I think you're going to see a cavalcade of individuals that – have the responsibility of trying to melt the ice tray.
Yeah.
Jax, I want to, before we talk about kind of the journey this year with this team, I got to congratulate you. You know, we talk about load management with stars. There is no load management with you, you know, TV pregame host, you know, doing post games, doing radio play-by-play. Mm-hmm. My wife, who I've converted, you know, I've converted into a diehard Miami Heat fan. One of her hot takes this year was she was concerned that the Heat would be killing Jax. And here's Jax strong for round one of the playoffs.
Listen, first of all, let us first say that the nearly 25 years of Mike Inglis in that spot, I mean, having the history, the championship history kind of woven with his voice in it was absolutely fantastic. Then to get the call when he retired in the late summer to step into that spot was, for me, a dream come true. One of the many reasons why I fell in love with sports from a broadcasting standpoint had to do with growing up listening to my favorite teams on the radio when, you know, I'm supposed to be asleep or doing something else. So it's just, it's been magical. It is at times a heavy load on certain nights with still TV responsibilities involved, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Those things that I've done hosting over the years feel like second nature. So to not have those elements involved or interview here and there, particularly on our road game presentations, wouldn't even feel right. So I'm really happy and appreciate Dr. Frank Kronberg, Miami Heat's ear, nose, and throat specialist, for keeping me rolling for a full 82. Usually once a year I have a voice implosion. And this is the first year we put together a beautiful kind of pre-care regiment for the season. And knock on wood, we've been able to hold firm and make the call every night.
Well,
we've got health. We've got full health.
That's amazing. You know, so Jax, 18 years, I feel like every single season, you know, there's a different kind of, you know, narrative, different story, different rhythm that you get with this team and you know, being there for so much of it. Is there a moment, a story, an anecdote as far as this year's team and kind of what it's been like watching them or something that you've experienced?
I think top of the list for me is I love the way that this group enjoys one another. Spo's been saying this for a decade plus, that a true element for a team that is a part of the true elements that are necessary. There are many. But one of the ones that will always be at the forefront is, do you have the ability to enjoy each other's success? And why is that so important? Particularly for this team, because the roles are changing. Like, there are about four people who can say they know specifically what their job was every single night. And it was injury, COVID, and whatever else came the Miami Heat's way, being able to, number one, have the empathy for guys whose opportunities are changing on a given night or in a given period, and regardless of their success, knowing that there was a plan already in place and those frontline roles, or having the empathy for someone when their body isn't coinciding with their desire to be out on the floor.
I'm sorry, you're talking about roles there, and I wanted to interject just because that was the main thing I'm wondering from you. A guy like Max Strus, who has become one of those guys that rose up for the Heat this year all year long, inserted himself into the starting role. What is the anticipation like about what we'll see from him in these playoffs? As you know, the game changes a bit.
It does, but for him, I think, just keep doing what you've been doing. You know, it's you can't game plan for everybody. And so you just got to, if you're Max and in that position, and for anybody that listens or watches, they know I got a love affair with that player. That just, I love the multitude of things that he contributes to the game, the toughness to take the hit. He has the wherewithal to keep his feet moving and stay in front of people on top of, you give him some space, he will throw it down on you. And then obviously that calling card or stroking it from the edges. When that man's in the lineup, the Heat wins.
Yeah.
So you decide what element it is that really contributes to it. And each night it's going to be something different. And he may feel a different way about the intensity. The cool thing, listening to him the other day talk about this real first frontline venture into it, is he's willing to let it come. He's not going into it with this anxiety of, oh, my goodness, am I ready for the moment?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been preparing for through these 82? But these moments coming up, and I think he's in the right frame of mind going into it with, I want to be ready, I hope that I'm ready, and I can't wait to get out on the floor to see the results. You can't take these 16, however many games it takes, but trying to get to 16 victories in a big swoop. It's always got to be super methodical. It's a two-month process. You're not going to make it happen any faster. A couple losses aren't the end of the world. Like, you got to maintain a steadiness unlike the first part of the season.
That is very real. We're looking forward to it. Again, Jason Jackson, face, voice, everything Miami Heat. Thank you so much. You can follow him on Twitter at The Jax Show, and you can just hear him and see him through the Heat's long playoff run. Jax, hey, rest that voice up. Me, JMP, and Evan Cohen here, we think it's going to be a long Miami Heat playoff run.
I hope you're right. I'm ready for every second. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Yep, we're going to go to break here as we're heating up for the Miami Heat's playoff run. Again, we think it's going to be a long one. Game one tipping off in about 45 minutes at FTX Arena. Game one against the Hawks. We're going to be right back here as we're heating up for the Miami Heat's playoff run.
Are you feeling the heat yet? Things are heating up with Theo Dorsey and JMP. Presented by Brightline, South Florida Ford, St. Lucie Battery and Tire, Greco Chevrolet, Breakers Palm Beach, EDS Air Conditioning, and Cleveland Clinic Florida.
We are back. The Miami Heat. We're so close to tip-off at FTX Arena. One-seeded Heat, eight-seeded Hawks. I want to put an asterisk by that 8 seed because they were the 10 seed and they played their way into that 8 seed. We're about less than 40 minutes away from tip-off, round one of the Eastern Conference playoffs, as the Heat look to make a long postseason run as they rev up that engine to get ready for hopefully what we think will be a long drive, a long road. And speaking of engines and drives and roads, JMP, what you got for us?
Well, we got Heat fans all the way up in the Treasure Coast, and our friends at St. Lucie Battery and Tire, the team, Scott and Jeff and everybody there, want to say thank you for 50 years in the business. Mm. You know, the Miami Heat, they've been around, Theo, for 34 years. It seems like forever. I was 5 years old when they started, but, I mean, St. Lucie Battery and Tire has over a decade on them. 50 years in business, the home of honest, reliable service. They can't thank their customers enough now. 15 locations, over 260 talented employees, hundreds of thousands of happy customers. They will keep you charged up and rolling so that you can get back to what is most important. St. Lucie Battery and Tire, serving their customers' battery and tire needs for 50 years in the home of honest, reliable service.
I love that. I also love the fact that you kind of spit some heat history there. The Miami Heat, we of course all know as Heat fans, they won in 06. They won in 2012 and 2013 with the Big Three. We almost got that bubble championship from the Lakers. We were a little banged up, you know, but we have three titles right now. And as the one seed in the East, though the odds in Vegas and the talk around national media and everybody is that the Heat aren't one of the favorites to win the title this year, I do believe it is not only something that can happen, but it will happen. This is a Heat team built to win in the playoffs, a team coached by Eric Spoelstra, a team that has a lot of veteran leadership, and they have a guy in P.J. Tucker who just won a chip last year, a guy in Kyle Lowry who just won a chip about 3 years ago. They have what it takes, JMP, as they're getting ready to tip off against the Hawks. What I have to ask you is, as a Heat fan, as a Heat lifer like me, a guy that is in the threads of Heat culture and can't find to wiggle his way out, we're in love with it, right? There's no separating us from the Heat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, embedded in Heat culture, absolutely.
I love it. Where would a 2022 NBA Finals championship rank to you between 06, D-Wade and Shaq, which came out of nowhere, right? 2012, 2013, Big Three Heat, we knew that we were favorites coming in. We should have won in 2011 as well. So those, you know, maybe not, but where would a ring this year, in a year where people doubted us, in a year where we had that four-game skid and the Jimmy Butler blow up on the sideline and everybody's like, maybe Jimmy's a bad fit for the Heat. Where would a ring this year rank for you?
That's a great question. I think it's either first or second. Mm. I will definitely put it ahead, and I loved the Big Three era, and I loved, you know, it was obviously great to see, even though I have mixed feelings about LeBron James.
Not a big LeBron guy?
No, not a LeBron guy. Although, you know, incredible 4 years with the Miami Heat. Yeah. We'll always thank him.
Yeah.
And it was special to see, like, you know, the Heat win versus the haters and LeBron win that first championship. And there were so many, are they going to blow it up moments over those 2 years, especially in 2012. And then, you know, just the way that, you know, the Ray Allen shot in 2013.
That was special.
So there were some amazing moments. I don't want to discount that. But to me, a championship in 2022 would definitely supersede that because of the fact that this team, you know, it was built to win a championship, but not, you know, the favorites to win a title. I think I'm going to lean 2006.
That's number one.
Because it was the first one. Yeah. You know, it was the problem is, so here's the thing. In 2006, that was a tough regular season to sit through.
Mm.
You know, the Heat, they had a team in 2005 that should have gone to the NBA Finals. Pat Riley makes a very gutsy move by, you know, getting rid of really overhauling most of the parts around Shaq and Dwayne Wade. Stan Van Gundy resigns early on in the year. There was a lot of friction going. Hey, you know, off the air, I can tell you this: he did resign.
Okay,
it is legit, and I, you know, it's something I thought the same thing, but I've heard enough things that it was a legitimate resignation. You know, that being said, I do think like people like Shaq and even guys like Alonzo Mourning like would have preferred playing for Pat Riley.
Who wouldn't?
Of course. But I think that was a tough regular season to sit through. We didn't feel very good about that team. At least I didn't feel very good about that team going into the playoffs. But then the run and the fact that, you know, this was my childhood team. I mean, I went to these games when freaking Ronnie Cicely and Rory Sparrow and Glenn Rice and
Deep
Sherman
cut.
Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the old garbage, you know, Miami Arena in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, they win a championship. So I think that's always going to be number one. But I will say this. This is a close second, and this team from start to finish has been a lot more enjoyable than I think any other Heat teams. To me, the most enjoyable Heat team, even though they didn't win the championship, was 2020.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously if they get a chip in 2022, it'll be even better.
It will be. And it also, to me, I think your rankings are spot on. The only thing for me with the two Heat championships in the Big Three era, I lean 2013 because of the dramatics of it. Like, I remember sitting down watching those games. I remember leaving. I was at a J. Cole concert, Dollar in a Dream in D.C. I went for the first two songs and left early to go watch Game 7 of that championship run. And I'll never forget Game 6 when I had Spurs fans texting me it was over. Sending me emojis.
I didn't realize there were actually such a thing as Spurs fans.
Well, I'm from Texas. I'm from Texas. You're right. You're
That's
right.
True.
You're right.
That's true.
I'm from Texas, so unluckily I've been not surrounded by, but I have met and I have the pleasure of having some even in my family, people who root for the Spurs.
So, like, the Spurs, like, your number one, like, who's the team that you hate the most?
That is a great, great question.
Like, I think I'm still Knicks because of all the Heat, Knicks rivalries from the 90s and three straight losses. And, I mean, Knicks fans were, you know, throwing championship parades.
Yeah.
You know, last year they were throwing championship parades, you know, during Linsanity. So I think I'm still Knicks number one. Who's yours?
I couldn't pick. So if I had to pick a franchise, it would probably be the Boston Celtics because I don't like the arrogance of those fans.
Yeah, they're really annoying.
You blend the arrogance of those fans with the fact that also I'm 28 years old, so the only championship you've gotten since I've been alive was 08, and they're riding off the high of 08.
Yeah.
I mean, the
greatest championship ever, that 2018.
Oh, my goodness. Like, give me a break. Give me a freaking break. And then they finally get their stuff together. They climb up to the two seed this year. And, again, the Celtics fans annoying the hell out of me on a daily basis. Oh, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. How did that work out for Jason Tatum when he tried Bam Adebayo a couple years ago?
I have a T-shirt of that.
Yeah.
That's how it worked out.
That's how I feel about the Celtics as an organization. Now, what specific team, when I break it down year by year, that I dislike the most? The 2011 Mavericks. I will never forgive.
Yeah, that was really tough.
I cried. That was the last time a sporting event made me cry, was when the Heat fell to the 2011 Mavericks in that finals. In my mind, there was just no way. And I love it for Dirk. I'm glad he got to get his chip. He was the guy that did the Giannis thing, the Kobe thing, one team, 20-plus years, whatever. He deserved a ring in that run. He didn't deserve it against my Miami Heat.
No, I was in the arena. Game six, I don't think that the arena has ever been as depressed as they were. And there was kind of a feeling of inevitability. Like, I think going into that game, you know, I still thought the Heat had a chance to you know, to win. They had the two home games. But, I mean, LeBron all of a sudden was, you know, I mean that was, you know,
he was a shell of himself.
Lost. Those last four games, and yeah, it was just it was stunning, and that still never should have happened.
It never should have happened. But we'll end that trip down memory lane and spin it back forward to positivity, because now we're with a Miami Heat team that is the one seed in the East that has the Hawks in town today again, about 30 minutes from kickoff. I mean, not kickoff, tip off at this point, as the Miami Heat will look to kick and bounce the Atlanta Hawks out of the postseason. You can catch that game, obviously, here. For the Heat, though, this year, this round, these Atlanta Hawks, one of the Achilles heels of this team all season long, even at full strength, has been defense. Fifth worst defensive team in the league when you look at defensive rating, 113 points per 100 possessions given up. The Miami Heat, fourth best defense in the league.
You just drop a little one, a little per 100 possessions.
Yeah. You know, I got to give them some stats to leave out
with. Some advanced metrics.
Yeah. People need to pay attention to this kind of stuff. Like, the Heat, a top five defense. The Hawks, a bottom five defense. That's what will be the story of this series, I believe. JMP, when you look at this series again, we've already talked about guarding Ice Trey. We've already talked about the guys that will be out, John Collins, Clint Capella. What do you think the story of this series will be with the Hawks?
I think it's going to be strength in numbers. I do think that Trae Young will have, you know, I said Heat in five. I think Trae Young will have two really big games. I think one of them will probably get the Heat, will get the Hawks their lone victory in the series. But I think it's going to be tough for him. And, yeah, I just, to me, it's a really good matchup for the Heat. I just think that there are so many different options. We saw even Friday night, I mean, you saw how bad that Hawks defense was. Heat, by the way, number one three-point shooting team in the NBA. Hawks, number two. So, you know, that's the other thing that the Heat really have to look for. But I think strength in numbers, Heat take care of business. You know, I don't think there's going to be a series that we really remember 6 months from now. I think it's going to be kind of uneventful, but Heat take care of business.
And that's what we're looking forward to. We want to, like, again, 6 months from now, even 3 months from now, we're going to be – I want the Hawks to be that team we forgot even made the playoffs. Like, oh, the Heat – oh, yeah, that's right,
it's
the
like,
Hawks.
Do you remember 2013 who, like, the Heat swept in the first round?
No.
You know, like, I want it to be one of those.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It should be just, again, a speed bump, a little thing that we have to get through to get to the real series going forward here, which is, you know, the winners of Sixers-Raptors, and then whoever comes out of that bottom half of the bracket, which is strong. You got the Bucks. You got the Celtics, you got the Nets. One of those teams will come up. Tip off 30 minutes from now. You're listening to it here on ESPN West Palm. He's JMP. We're heating up for the playoffs. Have a good one.